Before we begin the following episode with Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brut, I would like to thank our sponsor, who is an anonymous sponsor and is dedicating this episode as a schos for a shuruch, a zivug hagun, for Eliezer Ben Shendel. May he find his zivug very, very quickly, and we thank him very, very much. Welcome back, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Brut. It is a pleasure to meet with you once again to record an episode on Rav Yaakov Milisa. Who is Rav Yaakov Milisa? Most of the audience probably recognizes his name as the Baal Nesivos HaMishpat, one of the classics for those who went through the yeshiva system. And Rabbi Brut is going to tell us why in the world he decided this is a figure he wants to speak about while we're learning Maseches Ksubos. So hopefully within the next half an hour we'll be enlightened. I'd like to thank our producer, Usher Tesser, who now has gotten these episodes onto podcasts. They're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other platforms where you can find your podcasts. So besides for them being available on Oldaf, they're available on YouTube and the podcast platforms. Baruch Hashem, we just recently completed two episodes on LeDavid. Great feedback. There were over 10,000 plus views on the two episodes, and we are very excited to continue. Okay, so I don't know if you're going to spill the beans yet, why you have to get the Nesivos off your chest while we're learning Maseches Ksubos, but perhaps an introduction.
Okay, so the introduction is like this. We already started a few Masechtas back that every Masechta we try, Bli Neder, to go through, to have a deep dive into one particular achron on the Masechta. We've done a few of these. We've done Darach Lener for Yevamis. We've done Ravel Yigutmacher. So I decided for Maseches Ksuvis to go a deep dive into Rabbi Yaakov Milisa the Nesivos. Why? He wrote one of the classic achronish works on the Masechta called Beis Yaakov. So I've always been fascinated by him much more in the past few years, but he's one of the most famous, he wrote one of the most famous svarim in the when you're in yeshiva years. You learn a lot from the Nesivos HaMishpat, but and also his Beis Yaakov and Ksuvis, his Tyrus Gittin and Gittin. But once when you enter the world of halacha, you see that he's also, even though the Nesivos is on halacha, but you learn more about him. And you learn that he's an incredibly prolific person. Then you find out afterwards that he's also into Haggadah. He wrote on the Haggadah also. He wrote a Perush Al HaTorah. So I was nispel from this great Gadol, who lived only 62 years approximately, was beyond prolific, and his influence is tremendous ad hayom. He's born in 1770, and he dies, it's believed he's born around 1770, and he dies in 1832.
Okay, so I'm sure you're going to why we chose to further elaborate and expand on his literature. You just mentioned when he was born, when he died. Maybe give us a little bit more context, where he was, who his Rebbe or Rabbeim were, who his contemporaries were, as we proceed.
Okay, so first, many times I like to just throw out there, Kilo, when you give a speech, you can't write, you don't have the option of footnotes. When you write an article, you have the option of footnotes, which is you're able to source out everything you say. When you speak in a way that's a benefit of speaking, and it's a chesaron of speaking for some. So the general literature that's out there about the Nesivos could be found in works from, there's a work titled Yaakov. There's a work from Rav Kemal Harb, Dardea, which has a few pages about him. And in the series, which has multiple biographies on Gedolim from Rav Bromberg, which is called Migdolei HaTorah VeChassidus, he has a whole volume devoted to the Nesivos. These are the three main works about him. In more recent years, Meir Wunder, in his classic work, encyclopedic work on Galicia, Moiri Galicia, has a nice section on him, a few pages. And Rav Tzoyer, in his book Talos HaPaiskim, has a few pages about his method of psak, which Shlomo Zalman Hevelin, in a lecture that he gave in Harvard, takes issue with. It's a small article from Yitzhak Yudalov, a bibliographical article about the Ksais and the Nesivos. And then we have like always, new discoveries. In 1962, Yitzhak Levin discovers some important letters that shed light into some aspects of his life with Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which was, he publishes in 1962. And to conclude, there is a article from Rebbetzin Judith Bleich about some aspects of the Nesivos also. So this is just the general, this is the footnote to begin. Some of the sources found, these are some of the sources that helped me in my presentation, but there's much more to be added in the presentation. Okay, now for the first thing that we mentioned is, we ask is, who is he? We know he's born, we know that he's, we know he's born around 1770, but who is he? So the answer is, interesting, he has tremendous ichus. His grandfather was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. His father was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He seems to have died either before he was even born or right afterwards. He was also a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He prints Torah of his father. Lamashal, in one of his farming, prints his father's Chedushim on Krisos. And even in his Tzava, he stresses that he has more material of his father and he wanted his children to print some of that Torah, and elsewhere he prints stuff from his father. Lamaisa, he was a businessman, and he was Isaac in business. And like many such stories that we have, no reason to assume it's not true, his business deals seem to have gone bad, different things happened, and he ends up having to seek a career to be a Rav. But it seems anyway that still he wasn't, he still, from maybe he had better salaries than other Rabbanim, and maybe he still had some money. But bottom line is, he enters the Rabbanut, and he becomes a Rav, and he dies as a Rav, and he was a Rav in different places. He's active in places in Galicia and in Poland. Now, what's significant about him is besides, before we get to his writings and everything, is let's just talk about, that you asked, was, who's he learned by? So, interestingly enough, we know that it's pretty clear he's a Talmud of Rav Meshulam Meigra. Rav Meshulam Meigra is born in 1752 and he dies in 1802. He's one of those legendary Gedolim in this very important Kufa, which had giants such as the Nayin Yehuda, Shargis Aryeh, the Vilna Gaon, and he was one of the giants in that period of time. Not so much of his material survived as printed, a little bit is printed, but there's a nice book about him called Gram HaMailis, which has a lot of facts and also probably some fiction about Rav Meshulam Meigra. But he was, by all accounts, some Meshunadika Eloi, let's say at the age of 9, there's accounts of him knowing all of Pnei Yeshua by heart. And he was a tremendous, tremendous gadol. He, in learning, he impressed at the age of 9 the Klais of Braid. He gave a drasha there. Okay. Anyway, he gets married at a young age, close to 13 about, and he ends up a few years later, he gets divorced, and he remarries later on. But interestingly enough, there was some type of get issue that happened in the city of Braid. He, as a young age, so different gedolim wrote tshuvas, and he wrote a tshuva also. And Rabbi Shai Berlin, one of the great gedolim who saw the various tshuvas, he was most nispal from this young person's, this Rabbi Young, at that time, the young Rabbi Meshulam, his tshuva. And, okay, Lamaisa, at that time, the Shver, the former Shver of Rabbi Meshulam Meigra, was visiting Rabbi Shai Berlin, and Rabbi Shai Berlin told him this, and he felt very bad that he lost his son-in-law, but Lamaisa, it seems that this, according to the accounts, he was too big of a kaddish, so it's not necessarily, it wasn't so easy to be married to such a kaddish. Okay, whatever the stories are about him, but he was certainly a tremendous, tremendous gain at that period of time, and he had a tremendous impact, it seems, on some level on the Nesivos, but we cannot map out exactly what that impact is. We don't have so much Torah survived of Rav Meshulam Meigra, and it's not like that the Nesivos quotes the name of Rav Meshulam Meigra, but there are stories, which we'll get to soon, where he does emphasize that because I sent my Rebbe checked over my Torah, so there was something behind that. Anyway, so he mentioned this is the Nesivos, he's a Rav in different places. He's in a city, Kalush, not Kalush of the, where the Magen Avraham is, it's Kalush, I believe it's called. Eventually, in 1809, he gets to a city, Lisa, which is a very prominent city. He's there for 11 years. And it seems that Kehila over there, it seems he had a nice salary, and they were very happy with him. Mysteriously, in 1821, he leaves. And that has been a question for many years, and many different theories have been given why he leaves. But before we get to why he leaves, how did he get the job over here? So here, there's an interesting account from found in a beautiful autobiography about Galitzia, called Zichronus Ava Benoi, and from Rav Braver, he records that that interesting story, which was as follows. He was, as we just mentioned, the Nesivus is a Talmud of who? Of Rav Shlomo Agra. And he wrote, we know one of the earliest works that the Nesivus wrote was Chava Das. Okay, but interestingly enough, he doesn't write his name on this work. Okay, very good. So it seems a Shaila came up, was brought to the attention, and Aguna Shaila came up, which was sent from Rev David Tebli, who was the Rav of Lisa. And he sent this Shaila to Rav Shlomo Agra. Rav Shlomo Agra decided to show it to his Talmud, and Kitzer, he ends up writing a tshuva, and Rav David Melisa is impressed by it. But not only that, it seems that the Sefer Chava Das also impressed him. And he said he wants the author of this tshuva, and it turns out that the author of this tshuva and the author of the Chava Das was one and the same, and he wanted him to succeed him, and it turns out that that's who it was. That's who succeeds him. But anyway, he leaves in the middle of the night, as I said, in 1821, after being a Rav there for 11, 12 years, and it was a mystery why he left suddenly. Was he upset at something? What was going on? So different theories were suggested. Just to mention it, and not to go into this at length, because I'm more interested today in talking about his works, not as much the history, which is also fascinating, and some people like that. But basically, there was different claims, different theories, and some of them had to do with he had to divorce his wife. As well known, it seems Rev the Nesivus divorced his wife three different times. There's a strange story brought down about related to this that he got divorced three times. That it seems it was some type of klala. Rev Kemelhar, in his book that I mentioned earlier, Dardea, he brings down from a Masaira that it seems he once visited a bride and he didn't visit an uncle of his who was a tremendous chash of a person. Not only a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but also someone, I guess, Isaac and Estarais and these type of things. And he was very upset that he didn't visit him. And he seemed to have put on him some type of akpada. However you understand these stories, it's always very hard to understand. I'm not coming here to explain them, just coming to say them. And anyway, so it seems that they attribute, this is where the klalos began, that he was not matzliach, he had three different wives. Anyway, so he had to divorce her in Galicia. He had to leave Lisa and go back to Galicia. He was going to leave. This was a theory, and it turns out there's more. In 1962, Yitzhak Levine, he discovered manuscripts housed in YU, could be there's actually still there, a bunch of letters with Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Kila of Lisa. And through these letters, it seems, Taka, that what happened is that he did have to leave. He left at night. He sold his belongings because he had to leave the city. He knew that he was going to be away for a year to deal with this get. And bottom line is, he left, but he did want to come back. And there were problems with the salary, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger got very involved with this, as it comes out from these letters. And we see which we'll see more about soon, the tremendous kesher that Rabbi Akiva Eiger had with the Nesivus, and he was trying to convince the Kila Lisa to make sure his salary is proper. You have an unbelievable hush of a rav, a schus to have such a great guy, and one of the gedolei hadar of the time. It seems they did. But from these letters, it seems other things happened. In the end, he never gets back to Lisa. And okay, now, Bekitzer, part of a question which is also relates to all this is, was he rich or was he poor? And we'll see why that plays out. But it seems it's even though he probably was, as I mentioned, he was a businessman at one point. He lost some money. He ends up becoming a rav because of it, but he still probably retained it. And it seems in some of his places he got a decent salary. And one of the important points to emphasize this is because he prints a lot of his svarim himself. Not sometimes is other people print it for him, but he prints it himself, and that's a very significant key, which we will discuss.
I'm sure you could give a series going through Gedolim throughout the generations, right? The wealthy Gedolim who are also famous as Gedolim, or more famous as Gedolim. Mr. Shem, one day, that's a series we could look forward to. And it's really, isn't the Ktzais known for the opposite, as being extremely, extremely poor?
excellent. That's what I'm sort of alluding to, and the famous legend about that we're going to get to mamish momentarily. But exactly that's why I'm just pointing it out, and I'm going to talk more about it shortly. Okay, so Adkan, these are the very bare bone facts about some of his thing. He's a Rav, and he ends up going back to this original city that he was in, Kalush. He ends up going back to a different city, and that's where he dies. As we mentioned, sadly, at the especially for today, we're zeich to have gedolim in their 90s and 100 even, but at 62 years old, he dies. Okay. So that's the very boring bare bones of his history. Now, the next thing that you mentioned was, what about, does he have to do with any of the gedolim of a generation? So there's different ways how one has to do with gedolim. And it seems is that he had a very close relationship with many of the gedolim. We already discussed Rav Shlomo Meigra, but others of note, Rav Chaim Zalman Margolis and him had a very good relationship. There's tshuvas between them. And even Rav Chaim Zalman Margolis had a Talmud, Rav Shmerel, who wrote a fascinating chibur called Iyun Tefila, and I just have to promote a Machon in Lakewood, which printed it just last year. They reprinted it. It was not available for many years. It's called Iyun Tefila, excellent work on Tefila. And this Reb Shmaryo Shmerel was a Talmud Muvak by Reb Chaim Zalman Margolis. I was zoiche to write an introduction in this edition that they printed, and I later on updated the article that I wrote in the introduction over there in one of the recent editions of Yeshurun. He met the Nesivis personally and bring something from the Nesivis. So you see again a kasher of the two.
Which Machon in Lakewood?
Sorry, yeah. So the once I'm saying it, let me say it. Machon Ali Zayit, headed by Harav Shemanowitz, which prints every week. From what I see, many different svarim. They have a beautiful alon that they put out every week, four pages of all different types of stuff. I think you could sign up for free. But anyway, so they printed this work with nice footnotes and everything last year.
Yeah, I see they share in the shuls here, at least locally in Lakewood, that beautiful weekly Parsha pamphlet pulling out, it's not only on the Parsha, but they have something from the Parsha pulling out pieces from the different chiburim that they're working on. Maybe we get onto the old Parsha platform. We got to reach out to Rabbi Shemanowitz.
That's a good idea. Anyway, Bekitzer, so not only does he have to do it with Rav Zamargolis, he has to do it with the Chassam Sofer, he has to do it with the Buchacher, the Baal Yishol Avram, the Chemdes Shloima. He seems to have a very good relationship with Yeshuas Yankov, which we'll mention shortly a story about it, and Rabbi Kiveger, and many others. Rabbi Kiveger we'll get back to, and of course, we'll get back to his Yichus, with his connection with the Ksois. Now, these Makairis for all this can be found. Bromberg lists out some interesting things, and so too Meir Wunder has some more material where I can see his connection with the various Gedolim of his time. Two other aspects which I'm not going to be dealing with is, because it's very hard to know Lemais bottom line, what is Yachas with Hasidim is, and how many Talmidim did he have? I mean, say we see he's an active Rav in a few different cities, not little Shtetelach, but more importantly, he's an amazing Mechaber, which is what the main focus of this presentation is going to be about. But he seemed to have had Talmidim, but how many is always very hard to tell, and who these Talmidim were, but he definitely had Talmidim. Okay, now before we go further, to put in perspective who this, okay, everyone heard the Nesivis, and we see now that he's zested with all different Gedolim. Okay, but there was a Mar Mukum that a friend of mine, Eli Markin, pointed out to me a few years back, which I, whenever I think about it and I read it again and again, I'm always fascinated by it. And that is as follows. The Chayei Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig, one of the Dayanim in Vilna, Soif Yamov, he ends up meeting the Nesivis. In what year? In the year 1810. Okay. He meets the Nesivis, and he describes the meeting that he brought with him. He meets him in Lisa. This is Mamish right before we discussed earlier. He left mysteriously a year later, so it's right before. He says, "Bikibalti pnei gadol hadar per hazman hagoyin hagadol sadik va'anov Yaakov baal mechaber sefer chavadas avezin dekal uneschavti menul ayin map lechiburi." And he looked inside my work. Okay. So you see, you have to understand, is the Chayei Adam, we're talking about a man that was zeicha to know the Nagi Yehuda and the Vilna Gaon, and he's writing on him. So now they're already nifter, the Vilna Gaon and the Nagi Yehuda already, but he's calling him Kibalti Pnei Gadol Hadar. What's significant? Because a sentence later he says, V'chein Amr Li Yedidi Hagoin Hagadol Mayreinu Chaim V'lozhener. you say the not strange to us that the Rechai Adam was good friends with Rechaim Velazhner, but there he doesn't use this lashon of kibalti pnei gadol hadar. He says my yedid who was a guy in a gadol. So you see he's using incredible lashonis on the great nesivus we find here from a person who was around, who knew people, who saw gadolei olam, and he writes this about the nesivus. I found that very fascinating, this Maramakam. Okay, now, so now that's just to put it in perspective. Now let's get down to business. What is it about the Nesivus that makes him so popular and famous? So interestingly enough, in the Reb Shlomo Kluger, who was originally known as he was brought in to be the Darshan of the Ir in Broid before he becomes Rav and a Dayan and prolific. He was prolific already then, but he gave a hesped on the Nesivus after his Nifter, and he says a sentence, he gives a beautiful hesped, Kedarka B'Kaidish, but he says a line which I found fascinating based on all what I saw. It put in perspective what I saw in this line, what I'm going to say after you see this line, it will make more sense. He says like this. He says, Yaakov, Avbez, Melisa, Asher, Kemat Yachid B'doiroi, B'schus what? Chiburov, V'hairoisov, Les Din Tzarech Shvachim Shili. Basically, what made him so famous is his Chiburim and his Pesachim. Now, similarly, we find that his grandson and Talmud of his, Rabbi Avram Tumim, also a Rav in Galicia, who wrote a Sefer Chesel Avram, he also, when he talked in the Hagdamah to the Chibur Nachos Yaakov that he puts out after the Nesivus dies, he also writes about him that the Nesivus was something that he had more than Chachmei Dor, that his Chiburim were accepted everywhere. And not only that, and as we'll see shortly, is that he was given Maftechei HaEmes B'chol Chelkei HaTorah HaNiglo VaNistor Lo Yeniach Dav HaKatim V'Dav HaGadol HaKol B'Seid V'Nachon. And he... basically, there was no area that he didn't write about. And taking in perspective these two things, now I would like to discuss his writings and to show the tremendous impact. And what's interesting about the Nesivus is many Gedolim, and this is why last Hagdama, and then we'll get down to the actual Chiburim, is that many Gedolim, their impact is not, their impact could be during their lifetime through different ways. Sometimes they have big yeshivas, and sometimes it's through they get involved in very big controversies and they become known. And sometimes it's through their writings. But many gedolim was not through their writings. For example, just to give one off the cuff, the Magen Avram, he doesn't print anything in his lifetime. He becomes famous afterwards. How many people heard of him in his lifetime? The Vilna Gaon, nothing of his is printed in his lifetime. Today, who didn't hear of the Vilna Gaon? The Nesivus in his lifetime is beyond famous, and as I'm going to explain.
I have to stop you here. You mentioned the Magen Avraham. You have to tell the audience what your kesher to the Magen Avraham is. Aren't you a doctor because of the Magen Avraham?
I don't know. I can't blame the Magen Avraham for anything, but I did write a doctorate. Amongst other things, it's mostly about the Magen Avraham. So obviously, that's why the first thing that comes to my mind is going to be the Magen Avraham. One-track mind, as they say.
If anybody wants anyway, to see anything that you wrote on the Magen Avraham, is it available publicly?
Some things are. So two, three chapters are available.
Email eliezerbrot@gmail.com for more information.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, bottom line is... he becomes famous in his lifetime, and I'm going to give some illustrations to this in the next set of parts. But what's the first thing that comes to mind, as we mentioned right away in the beginning, is everyone who learns in yeshiva at least knows about the Nesivus HaMishpat. What's the Nesivus HaMishpat? This is a classic work on Chayish HaMishpat. So I'm not going to get into all the details of all the bibliographical information about it and the method of learning in the Nesivus and what's going on with the Nesivus verse, his Yedid, as that's how the Ksois, interestingly enough, refers to the Nesivus. In the Meshaiviv Nesivus, and now the Ksois is older than the Nesivus. The Ksois is born in 1745, he dies in 1812, and he wrote his Ksois, and then comes along the Nesivus, and he writes the Nesivus. Comes along the Ksois, and he writes to answer up the problems that the Nesivus raises, and he says that, he says a Lashon, that someone, Echa mi'anshe shem, u'mayla galu b'toyrek, Echa mi'goyne zmanenu, shakad al sifri, he was Isaac, a lot of my sefer, Oizen v'chikar b'amrov arisham, v'sam kol me'ayna boy, he looked into carefully, hen yedidi u'makiri harav ha'goyin ba'al mechavar sefer neshiris ha'mishpar, achoy shem mishpar chelik rishon. Bekitzer, he's calling him his friend. This is not in any form, which maybe some folklore might say. There were enemies even. I think there are some legends, whatever, but they Bechlau had no, this was a mamish l'shem shamayim. There's no problems whatsoever. These two svarim, they go at it, as they say, but they are, the Ksais is calling him Yadid. Anyway, then later on, we know, the Nesivus answers this up, but this is not my main focus is maybe perhaps in the Seder Nezikin to talk more about the Cheshivas of the Ksais and the Mapecha that the Ksais and the Nesivus particularly made in that area of Chayshim Mishpat. It doesn't play so much over here. But just to mention a drop is that besides for emphasizing this thing that they were good friends, they're actually, it seems, and this is, it's found in this autobiography that I mentioned earlier, they're buried next to each other in the Zecharias Ava B'nai, and the Ksais had a chash of a Talmud, Reb Inzel, was Isaac in helping print the Ksavim Ksais that wasn't printed by him. This Reb Inzel also was in good connection with the Nesivus. He helped him out. It seems at one point the Nesivus was going to even go to Eretz Yisrael. He was so upset from different things that happened, but anyway, point is that the Ksais and the Nesivus got along great. Now, there's two, but just over here to mention two pratim. One is that Rav Kook, in a beautiful piece that he wrote, a short piece about Rav Kook, Rav Kook writes in a short piece about Rav Shimon Shkup the following. He says, we were zeicha in the dar that the Ksais and the Nesivus and the Rav Kiva Eger, in their svarim, they brought something new, a svara, Amkus with Hegyoin into the world of learning. He's listing those three names, the Ksais, the Nesivus, and Rikvega, and Kiyadu in the Yeshiva world, they when they want to map out who the people who started, so to speak, whatever this start of revolution of a new Mahalach HaLimud, they attributed it to the Ksais, Nesivus, and Rikvega. And of course, we have to throw out there, we have to emphasize is that this is Galitzianer Yidin and Yekeshi Yidin. The Rav Kiva Eger is a Yeki, and Prussia also, but he's sort of a Yeki, and Nesivus is and the Ksais are both Galitzianers. So it didn't start in Litta, this Mapecha in learning, although maybe it did, tributing with the Shagas Aryeh and more, but that's not for now. Anyway, there's one story that, because this is a story very well known, and you alluded to this story earlier, Rav Maisha, over here, and that is as follows. They say a story that the Ksais was asked, it seems, by the Nesivus, and as I said, they knew each other. They definitely had, it's definitely possible, and they knew each other well. It seems, according to the way this story goes, is why would the Nesivus asked them, why was your sefer more matzlich than my sefer? Now, it's a story set over. I can't say if it's true or not. I don't know. It's brought down by the Torah Tamima and his Makar Baruch, where he says that his father heard this from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, the conversations of the Torah Tamima, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the Aruch HaShulchan that the Torah Tamima records in Makar Baruch has been discussed a ton. And as a general rule, when you start up with Lubavitch, you'll never end. The come out of the woodworks. I do not want this discussion today to be focused and sidetracked to this discussion, but there's a lot been written about it. Rabbi Shua Munshine wrote about it. There's various articles, even in more recent issues of the Heichal HaBesht. A person in a work that I had a lot to do with, from Itam Hinken, Hashem Yinkam Damai, came out a book on Darach HaShulchan called Tarach Lufanei Shulchan. So in the back, there's a chapter where he deals with if we could trust some of these conversations that the Torah Tamima says over that his father had with Lubavitcher Rebbe. But anyway, in the course of that conversation, in those conversations, is also a discussion about, he's saying over the story of the Ksais and the Nesivus. So without that sidetrack, what's the bottom line of the story? The story was that basically the Ksais says that he asked the Nesivus, what happens when you learn? You see, I write down my Torah, I wake up the next morning, I go on. Okay. The Ksai says, okay, I wake up in the morning, and what do? I chazer over what I did the night before, and I check carefully, and it could be that I might have made a mistake, and then I'll erase and go on. So that's why my sefer is more matzliach. Now, it's very hard to know that that's the reasoning. It's a very hard statement to know, because Lamaisa, as it's going to come evident from the course of this presentation, the Nesivus's work is, it's so dachistic who's more matzliach, the Ksais or the Nesivus. They're both said in yeshiva world all the time. I'm not capable of saying who's bigger, chas v'shalom. I don't know if anyone could say who's bigger, but they both have, there's a tremendous awe to both of them. But another point that's said over is something to the effect that it's also that the Nesivus was wealthier and the Ksais was poor. So that also attributed to it. I think in one version that I have seen was something to the effect that he writes it under a blanket. The ink is freezing, where the Nesivus wrote it beravchus. As we said, the Nesivus had money, at least in some of the times, even though he lost his money in businesses. But all this is called folklore. Interestingly enough, that there's a different story which goes the other way, which is like this, that the Yeshuas Yankov, who was also a great gadol of that period of time, him and the Nesivus got along. The Yeshuas Yankov asked the Nesivus, why is it that your svarim are more famous than mine? And he said, and his answer was, because I bring my chedushim to my Rebbe, Rav Meshulam Meigra, after I write them. But that could only explain a certain amount. I'm saying Rav Meshulam Meigra is dying in 1802, and as we know, the Nesivus is beyond prolific from the year 1802 and onwards. So what is the cheshbon behind that story? Anyway, as I've said in the past, we mefreknish ken kashas of Mises, these are folklore in the yeshiva world, and we don't want to tamper with them. And there's probably some truth to some aspects of them. Okay. Anyway, that's the just to knock off the Ksais, but obviously this needs much more beer. Okay, now here for the main part, the main focus of our conversation, to get going over here. And that's a story like this. He writes many different works. So we already threw out there that he writes a work called Chavadas. This is a work of his. Anyone who's learning in Yaradeya, areas of Basa B'Chalav, Melicha, Taruvis, Ribis, and Nida. And Ad Hayoim, this is one of the most important works on these areas quoted Arya. There's nothing to talk about. It has a tremendous impact. It seems that, as I said, when he first printed it, he didn't have his name on it. Why not? That's part of the thing, is that he was a tremendous anav. Now, his Agdama that he wrote already to that has been quoted often, and it's kedai just to say over some points of this Agdama, and that is, basically he says that I know I'm nothing, but I didn't write this Chibur for Galus at all, and I'm not even a Paisik, I'm not Magia Lahira. I wrote it so like a Talmud that's done Lefnei his Rebbe, and you should be Ma'ayin to see. And just like we say, mitalmidei yosim mikulam, so people should be ma'ayin into what I say and see if what I say is valuable, is useful. But it's not the kvoya halacha chas v'shalom. He wrote it. It's a sefer learning, which is very interesting. And this has been quoted by many different svarim that I don't know who's the first person who says such a thing. You write a halacha de kasefer. And I'm not paskening halacha lemaisa, but lemaisa, the fact is, the Chavadas probably instantly became a halacha lemaisa safer on Basa B'Chalav, Ribis, Nida, and Ariyim. It is. Either people don't read the Hagdamas, or they ignore it, they say he's an anav, whatever it is. But this Hagdama is used by some other Mechavrim, start to use it and say, Ayin in the Hagdama, the famous Hagdama of the Nesivus.
We just did 10 episodes on Reb Chaim Kanievsky. How many times did you mention that Reb Chaim wrote at the beginning of his Svarim? Not the Paskin? Is it the same idea?
So I'm still looking for where's the earliest source, but I know that the Nesivus is famous for it, and I'm positive that the Nesivus had some type of ashpa on Reb Chaim Kanievsky in this prat and other aspects, but I still don't have, you say, where did the Nesivus get this from? I'm still, research is ongoing, as I like to say. But definitely, that is a valid point with it. Okay. Lamaisa, another sefer that he puts out, besides the Chavas Das, that as I said, it's put out again. Eventually, it's put out Bechayov, the Kihila of Lisa sponsor it again, and it's put out with a beautiful 3 pages about him from his Talmidim Bechayov, and eventually his name is it's released to the public that it was him. Okay, but he doesn't back off of his original Haskama, his Hagdama, where he's saying it's not Halacha L'Maisa. Okay. However, to explain that. Another sefer he writes is called Mekar Chaim. This is a legendary sefer in areas of Hilchas Pesach. Chaval, it doesn't get through all areas of Hilchas Pesach, but in areas of Hilchas Chametz, it's considered mamash very chashuv. It's an intense sefer in the certain earlier prakim in Masechtas Pesach to learn. Now, interestingly enough, in the back of the Sefer, he also prints his Ha'aris on the Taz and on the Magen Avraham Be'iyun, where he goes through them very carefully. Ha'aris, where you see him being very sensitive, it's known that there's a lot of mistakes crept into the Magen Avraham and the Taz also, and he corrects them, and there's a lot of valuable information, but it's interestingly enough, it's not so well known, this Chibur. It's buried in the back of a Mekar Chayim, so it doesn't get its proper... This is one of the works, I would say, of the Nesis that doesn't get proper credit out there. Interestingly enough, in the original edition of the Mekar Chayim, he also printed Chiddushim of his father and Krisos. He printed a small little kuntres relating to Inyanim of Hilchas Erevin. And just to mention one cute thing that I found interesting, because as you mentioned that I'm fond of the Magen Avraham, so he throws out there in Ha'ara, in Siman Tav Reish Lamed Dalet, he's asking about a Tosefta in Baba Kama. And then he brings down the Magen Avraham, and he's asking a question on the Magen Avraham, and he says that the Magen Avraham is Saiser himself, because the Magen Avraham, what's very not known, wrote a Pirish on Tosefta. And it's published. We have some of it on the Bavis. And he says, the Pirish of the Tosefta that the Magen Avraham wrote, that's Nitbas Bekrach Katon Betfus Amsterdam, the Magen Avraham is Mefarish of the Tosefta, and it's a Stira. So I found this very amusing that the Nesivos picked up on this, a Stira, asking a Stira in the Magen Avraham to his Pirish on Tosefta, which Adayoyim Kemat no one knows about. Okay. Anyway, like everything else, today, Baruch Hashem, there's a beautiful new edition of the Mekar Chayim with the footnotes. Okay, fine. That's moving on. Now, getting closer to the excuse of the topic of why we're talking about it today relates to his work, Beis Yankiv, which is on Masechtos Ksuvos. And now, this work, there's a few just short points to point out. One is, there's also a tremendous dagesh on halacha. It has a whole section on Hilchas Ksuva running on Shulchan Aruch, which is not unusual because we already discussed, already from the Nesivos HaMishpat, Chavos Das, Mekar Chayim, these are all halachadika works that he's very interested also in halacha. There's also tremendous dagesh on using Rishayim, which has a tremendous importance, but we're not going to get into that right now. He's also into the G'dayli Achreinim, such as the Marsha, the Pnei Yeshua, the Afla. Okay. Anyway, there's beautiful editions of these works today, and same thing with Taris Gittin. His work, it became a classic work on Masechtas Gittin, which is also, we see a tremendous usage of Rishayim into the G'dayli Achreinim. Also, Halachadik has a whole section on Halachas of Gittin. So we see him again, we're even in the Masechtos that he's writing a running Pirish on the Masechta, but Halacha plays an important role in his worldview. He also prints a small sefer called Kehelas Yaakov, and this Kehelas Yaakov has simanim, incomplete, it must be an uncompleted work on other areas of Ibn Ezra and Aruch Chaim also. Okay, I'd count some of his works that are more famous. But then there's a work of his that I would say this work is what makes him, takes him into a whole different... To a whole different audience, he becomes famous for that audience. And that work is the Derech Chaim. The Derech Chaim, when is the Derech Chaim printed? The Derech Chaim was first printed in 1828. What is the Derech Chaim? And that is a very interesting discussion that I would like to discuss right now. And that is as follows. As we said, he's very into halacha. So he's very into halacha, and halacha means halacha l'maisa. So before we get to the aspect of halacha, I would like to sidetrack for a second and jump to a chibur that I was going to talk about at the end, and that is his tzava. There's a fascinating thing about different gedolim that we have, is that some gedolim we have their tzava, and their tzava is a great window to see interesting things about them, and there's been a lot written about. People have collected tzavos. Tzavos even of Rishayim have been printed, published, collected, and of Achreinim, Ahavat Shalom has two volumes of different tzavos. And these tzavos, sometimes it could be a musa work, and sometimes it could be halachadika work. So one of the famous tzavos that are out there is the Nesivos' tzava. In this tzava, which has about 30 different sections, something like that. So just to throw out there, Rebbetzin Judith Bleich, who I quote in the beginning, she wrote an article about this tzava, and she also translates into English, because some people like English, different parts of the tzava. But the tzava could be found in different places, in some editions of the Derech Chaim, which we're talking about now. And basically, in this tzava, already right away in the beginning, he talks about the importance of learning halachadik. The Ian Shabbat Talmud Yia Aliba de Hilchasa, Loi Bepilpo Hanoyig Bavanisino Aram Bedar Hazeh. And then in the next one, Ois Gimel, he says, Tilma b'chol yoyim dafay amud shulchan aruch harachayim v'tiru, and you should be careful, shetiyeh b'kiyim boi b'hadinim heitiv, ki roiv din harachayim, mizdam l'adam, when does the areas of Hilchas Arachayim come up? Bizman b'shah she'i efshe l'adam l'ayin elisha l'chocham, you can't ask anyone, so you got to know about it. So, and then he throws in, u'kvar chibarti b'zeh, say the tefillah im kol hadinim k'dei l'zakos nishmasi, which we're talking about already now, which is the darachayim. So we see already a tremendous impact of, not only impact, more the emphasis of halacha, which we've seen in his works up till now, even in his work with the Beis Yankiv, and his work, the Torah's Gittin, that there's halachadika aspects, there's halachadika emphasis in these works. So he emphasized this in his tzava to his children, and so too is Der Chaim, that's one of the concerns, and that's what he's saying over here. Okay, now, what's this Der Chaim? Let me just give some background. So, in 1828, he prints a siddur, it seems. And in the siddur, he has mamish everywhere, all the halachas that come up, what to do in, let's say, Hilchas Tzitzis right away, Hilchas Tfilin, Hilchas Brachas, as you go along. You don't have to turn anywhere. You don't have to turn to the back. If it's a halacha that's nageya in that spot, it says the halacha, what to do. What's it based on? What's these? What's this? Hold on one second. What's the work based on? What's the makairis that he uses? So he already writes in one of the in the Shar one could find in the first edition. It's a likud from the Taz, Magen Avraham, Eli Rabba, and Prima Gadda. Okay, so he it's pretty much clear in the outset what it is that he's doing. He's making a straight up. So someone should have. Without having to, you're going to be stuck, as he says in the Tzava, you're going to be stuck in a situation where you can't ask a Rav a Shaila, so you have straight up what to do. And where is the Makayrs from? These four tremendous Makayrs. Okay. Now, is it that he's being Machriya in areas? The answer is he definitely is, although he plays it down, but already in 1829 in a tshuva that he was asked from someone about two different things, we see clearly that there is there is originality and his own take on certain things throughout the Sefer, but it requires Iyun to see it. However, it ends up happening. It's from 1828. It's printed endless times, Ad Hayoyim, in Sedurim. But the problem becomes is that because something is printed so many times, mistakes creep in, and things attributed to him that he never wrote are attributed to him, and because people were trying to fine-tune it and add stuff to it. Already in the years of 1839, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, before he prints his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he publishes additions to material in the Derech Chaim, and an addition is released with the Siddur and everything, with his additions to stuff that he feels maybe that the Nesiv is left out or forgot to put in, whatever is behind that. He writes about this in his introduction, why it is, but you see how significant it is. Now, in the 10 years, it's printed about 7-8 times. Until today, it's endless how many times. I don't think it's possible to even list, but it's, I would say, venture to say hundreds of times it was printed. Again, not always is it complete. But even today, certain Siddurim have it. Now, what the significance is like this. When you go, there's a lot of significance to this Nakuda, and I'm not going to go through all the aspects. I'll regal achas, just like this. First, let's say, if you look at Askamas, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger, as I said, his good friend, gives him askama, and he says, "Kiloi mana hatoiv lehitiv called nefesh mi Yisrael ki katan ukegadol." He's helping everyone, even a katan kegadol by itzilayir sefer tefilim kol hadinim hanilvam elav leman yedu kolish mi Yisrael laasitz kechay kamachuv. And he, so you see that the chashivas of this chibur in Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how Rabbi Akiva Eiger looks at this chibur already then. Mamish then. Now, but even more than that, Rabbi Akiva Eiger goes and writes dozens of hagoyis on this chibur. Interestingly enough, like everything else, they're printed in numerous different places. And as recent, in a recent journal called Arazim from Machon Shuvi Nafshi, that's printed in the year about less than 10 years ago, they publish what they claim based on a manuscript that they have the most Hagoyis of Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Derech Chaim. They have 100. Up till now, they said it was only, in some places they knew maybe maximum was 80. But the point is, something like 100 Hagoyis of Rabbi Kivega on this Chibur. Rabbi Kivega not only does give a tremendous Haskama, he goes through very carefully. The world of Halacha, Rabbi Kivega, doesn't need any Haskamas. But not that the Der Chaim, not that the Nesivis needs Haskamas, but his good friend Rabbi Kivega goes through it, and it's beyond significant. And now, but what's the significance? The significance is like this, and this is just to add into what the Nesivis himself says in Tzava. Many times, someone's in, you could be in the middle of davening. You can't go ask your Rav Shaila what to do. Here he has all the different things straight up, instead of having to run to go get a Shulchan Aruch, a look, a Magen Avraham, whatever. And many people, they can't even do that. Here you have a Kitzer Sefer put in front of you. Now, interestingly enough, already early on, he was interested in doing this. Not only besides that we emphasize that he's very into learning Alibi de Hilchasa, and his Sfarim have a major halachic slant, but in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, which he puts out, back in 1801, I believe, is the first time it comes out. He, in one of the earliest editions, he puts in Hilchas Brachas, a whole kuntres, which later on gets put into the Derech HaChaim that's out there. He also has a massive kuntres on Muktzah, which is not something that comes up while you're davening, but if you look in many editions of Derech HaChaim, there's a whole kuntres on Muktzah. Where is that from? That was already in 1801, or one of the earliest editions of his Haggadah Shel Pesach. He puts in that kuntres in the back. So you see, he was always interested in that people should have a kitzer sefer of halacha, because there's many times a situation, you're not going to know what to do, and you're not going to be able to ask a rav about it. So that's one point that, and what the point I'm also trying to bring out is it has impact. It's printed hundreds of times everywhere. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in his Sefer uses it. He emphasizes that he's using this Chibur. But everyone, it became accepted everywhere. I would say in all circles, Hasidim, Litvaks, everyone accepted it. Now, and also I mentioned is that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch went ahead and he prints an edition of the Derech HaChaim with his editions. Now, there's all different additions with, they say, additions that the Nesivis added in later times. I'm not getting into all the nitty-gritty of that. I don't know if there's a proper job ever done on this, but point is, we have a chibur on many areas of Aruch Chaim, a handbook, what to do, bottom line, based on from the Nesivis. And as I said, it has a tremendous impact out there. Now, there's a tremendous askama from one of the Gedolim of the time of Galicia in a 1833 edition from Aruch Chaim Rappaport. And he also says, he says, "Mi kamayu meira befrapim makam sheish pukta bein apayskim yesh lamoid ala charasai ki yaduam befirstim aitzim chachmasai v'roy vina ki roy lismay chalav afilu beisadai raisa." So he's emphasizing that in his askama. So you see, what we're seeing over here is, and that's the amkus of Rabbi Shlomo Kluger said in one sentence when he gave his hesped, his hashpa of his psakim are endless. And through this, forget about the Hashpa and the Sivis HaMishpah Chavadas. Not everyone opens up a Chavadas because it's above their Madrega, but the Derech Chaim was printed in so many different Siddurim, and so it has this tremendous, tremendous impact at the time. Now, just to be Messiah, this sugyo with three, four tidbits is like this. The Chibur is so significant. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes in a letter, one of his main sources for his Sefer was the Derech Chaim. Another thing is, I mentioned the Mishnah Berurah, but Chiburim are written. That's one of the ways you could see the success of a Sefer is when Chiburim are written on it. Already, way back, there's a beautiful Chibur we mentioned in the episode on the David, Shar Kailul. So the same author has a Sefer, Derech Chaim v'Nesiv HaChaim, which he has also beautiful additions and materials adding on to the Nesivis. And looking in the world of, and as I said, with Rabbi Kivega, there's also that. Okay. Justin Messiah with two other pratim about this is that there's a legendary, there's a sort of like a story that people like, let me see if I can find it, hold on, story that people like to say over that might be behind the printing of the Derech Chaim. I'm not convinced it's behind the Derech Chaim, but there's definitely truth to it. And that's as follows. They say there's a story that the Beis Halevi, who was also divorced, his first wife, what happened is, he was in shul, and it was Chag Sukkos, and he was asked, it was Shabbos, and he was asked, which piyut do they say in Chazar Sashatz, because they're not taking the lulav, what's going on, and he pasha didn't know. He was a yid that learned in Valojin. He never looked at piyutim or shalosh regalim. He didn't know the minhagim of piyutim. And basically, from there, people start with Mazalzel. What? This guy is saying the Beis Halevi is Chashev. He doesn't know Pasha the basic Shailo. They say a similar story on Rav Chaim Volozhiner. When he was a Rav, he also didn't know some basic question. And Aaron Freiman is quoted by Shai Agnon that this is the reason for the Nesivus also, that basically people were asking basic questions and people didn't know. And now there is some truth to this, and you could see this in the Hagdama of the Nesivus. Not that there was a particular story that happened, but that's what it is. It's to make available what today in shuls, especially more and more, you grab the luach in America from Rav Henkin, and Eretz Yisrael was the luach of Rav Tukashinsky. Now there's another luach, and there's a few luachs depending on what shul you are and depending on whatever. Because a lot of times there's a halacha and there's no time to go run and look it up. So you need to have a safer, so as I said, this Reb Chaim Rapport said on the Nesivus, unbelievable stuff. Okay. Anyway, that's a legend. And the last Nakuda, which relates to the legend a little bit, is in a book called Hagadol Miminsk that was written about the great Litvish Hagadol, Rabbi Yerucham Perlman. This book was written by Rabbi Meir Halperin, a tremendous Talmud Chacham himself. So he records a conversation. It seems that when the Gadol Minsk got his job in Minsk, so Balabatim were shtickle upset at him. They asked him questions. He would push them off. Similar to the question that the Beis Halevi got. Questions that some Rabbanim today also don't like, but Balabatim want to know what to do. Questions that could be found easily in a luach, but a Rav is more interested in giving is more interested in a complicated chayshim mishpat shayla or something like that. He's not interested in these small little shaylas, what they call. Anyway, so he seemed to like push off Balabatim. They were getting upset at him, and so someone gave him advice. A chashev, a guy in the city, told him you should learn the Chayi Adam and the Derech HaChayim specifically. And when someone comes to ask you a question, just mention you saw the Derech HaChayim and the Chayi Adam, but you hold differently, and they'll respect you more. And interestingly enough, it's a whole beautiful story. There's a lot behind this story. He listened to the advice that he got from this Chashev of Balabas, and people were much less upset at him because they saw, because they were getting nervous. It said, Rabbi, how can you come out and say something like that? And my Siddur, which has the Derech HaChayim, as we said, it's printed everywhere, you're going against it. Anyway, this is that's the impact of the Sefer Derech HaChayim. Just a few more last minute things is like this. He also writes a pirish on the five Megillas, which Adayim is also very, very, very chashuv, and it's printed in many standard Mekreis Gedolos Adayim. Each one has its own introduction, and it's considered amazing by many people. Now, another chibur of his that he wrote, if it's not enough that he has an Asivus, and he has a Derech HaChayim, and now I'm saying he has Purushim on the Megillus, and he has Purushim on different Masechtos and Shas, he also has a Haggadah Shel Pesach, which Ad HaYoyim is mamish considered from the best Haggadahs out there, Ma'isa Nis Haggadah. In recent years, a fellow Rabbi Goldberg, he's printed it five different times. Each one, he's tracked down all different things about it. I'm not going to go into all different aspects of it. Time is short. We want to finish soon. But basically, is that he uses the two chashivs, the Purushim and the Agada, the Arbar Benel and the Ma'is Hashem, and then he runs from there. It's an incredible pshat-oriented Agada, but he also shows once in a while Yeda in Kabbalah and Yeda in Mar Nevuchim. Mar Nevuchim can be found, his Yedda Mar Nevuchim can be found in this work and in his other works. And as I said, this work from this edition of Goldberg, of this Rabbi Goldberg, he's put it out literally five times. It's a beautiful edition to see. An Agada, this is printed after he dies, is a Sefer Al Torah Nachos Yaakov, which is Malev Gadish. Also, again, here we also see usage of Mar Nevuchim, which is for some people considered very unique. And his Emes Liakov, which is on that Gad to Gemaris of Shas, also is printed. In recent years, more discoveries have been found with new notebooks, with tons of more material. Mechon Yerushalayim, less than 10 years ago, put out such an edition where they redid the Emes Liakov and the Nachos Yaakov and his Drushes, and with lots of new material and footnoted edition. Excellent, very kedai. Now, what's interesting is, and this is the last two segments I would like to talk about is as follows, very briefly, is we're talking about Ish Halacha. What about Tshuvas? Do we have Tshuvas from him? Interestingly enough, his Einikel writes that he that his grandfather, the Nesivus, was always upset. He did write tshuvas, but he never preserved them, and he had charata always that he didn't. So you see, even though he was so into writing about halacha, but tshuvas we don't have. There's one famous tshuva of his that's quoted in the Reform controversies, which was printed in the which was recently printed. It's printed in many different places. We're not going to go into that tshuva right now, and so from all this, one could see what struck me so much about the Nesivus before we get to the last Nakuda. And that is, we see a person who was beyond prolific in all areas of Torah, and most of these works came out not once, not twice, in his lifetime. This helped him get so out there. L'mashal, in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, he talks about using chrein. So now, we're not talking about Svarim today, if they quote the Nesivus or not. Literally, in that period of time, right after he writes this, we have the Beis Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. We have the Yeshuas Yankov. We have the Chassam Sofer. We have the Chayei Adam. We have Rabbi Shlomo Kluger. The Tshuva Me'ahava. All of them saying, oh, we know, just recently came. You see, right away, he puts out something. He's in his low 30s at this time. And it's becoming famous. It's becoming discussed. This is something very unique that doesn't happen to so many gedolim. And he was zeicher. Not only that, he was just a rav. He was a rav, an active rav, and he did write tshuvas, which we don't have. But his svarim and halacha changed the face of halacha ad hayom. Now, the last thing I would like to discuss, which I mentioned already, is his tzava. And in this tzava, as I'm saying, is that he was very fond of discussing that you have to know about halacha lemaisa. He also discusses that you should learn chumash, and we see he's writing Nachas Yaakov. He also mentions one should learn Tehillim and know Tehillim, and that's very interesting, very pashut. He also talks about davening, how important davening is, and we see Derech Chaim, and in general, the Hagdamah to Derech Chaim is also beautiful. What about Kabbalah? He does say to learn Zayar, but he's very anti-learning Kabbalah. So that's also interesting. He talks about Nida, you should know the Hilchas of Nida, make sure to know the Hilchas Ribbis, all these, and Chayshim Mishmat areas, and these are all interesting because these are things that he wrote all about. Okay. Now the last thing to throw out there that became famous, he says it in his Tzava, he says it in some of his, and he says it also in some of his Agdamas, of his Svarim, and that is that Dover Echad Toiv Yatzel Kol Sefer Kula. This is a very famous concept. He gets the chashivas that he's the person who said this, that basically a sefer is valuable. Don't be so pessimistic about a sefer as long as there's one good thing in the sefer. He says this in his Tzava in a certain lashon. He says in some of his Agdamas. L'maisa l'maisa, Professor Yaakov Shmuel Spiegel, in his sefer, Amudim Metal Sefer Ivri, Talmud Aruch, has a whole chapter about it where he traces all about it. He does say that because the Nesivus said it probably had an impact in recent years, but it goes way back. There's different eschayos of it, like everything else. It was originally printed as an article in Eitz Chaim, and this is something he says in Tzava. Akopanim, there's many things one can learn from the Tzava. We're just trying to finish right now. And the point is, I think I gave over a little bit how this prolific author, the Nesivus, had a tremendous impact ad hayom on the world of Torah in all areas. And that's all I have to say for today.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all you have to say. We're looking forward to hearing a lot more on other topics. I say every episode that you give for 58 minutes to an hour can really be 4 or 5 hours worth of episodes in a series. But I like the idea. We got to get back to the rich gedolim in history. I'm sure it's fascinating to see each one. One of your heroes, no? The Rashash and the Rashash's son.
Yes, the Rashash's son. But Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, right. I've written almost a whole book on him. So he was definitely what was called the rich Gadol Hadar.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Anyway, we'll be back.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Yes, Meretz Hashem.